Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Fairhaven. It is so good to be with you today and to have the privilege of preaching the Word of God to you today and to be in this environment to get to see Keaton not only dedicate his life, he's done that, but to make public confession that he is going to live his life for the Lord. How awesome is that? And I know so many of you students and his generation is making that decision, and I'm so proud. Like, I couldn't be more proud of that and so thankful for that, because it's what we need in our nation and in our world. When you get students and young men and young women on fire for God, you can't stop it. And it's so fun to watch that happening across our nation. And then I want to personally thank, I know many of you came and supported the celebration of Christ that happened at the Highland Civic Center. Thank you for coming and being part of that night. Continue to pray that the Lord would give us guidance on some next steps we're praying about related to that sort of thing. And so just thank you for coming and being part of the night. We did. People said, you know, how'd it go? I said, well, we went there to celebrate Christ, and we celebrated Christ. So I'm so grateful for how he worked that night. And I just thank you for your partnership with Joy 99 and Winning at Home to be able to make that happen. I'm honored, too, to get to be part of the preaching team. As I drove over here this morning, I was just in my heart. I was like, wow, I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm really looking forward to sharing one of these words that we've chosen to share with you and to really make them personal and apply them to our life. And so this morning, I would just invite you, as I bring in this word of peace. We're going to talk this morning about peace and what peace looks like and what peace would mean for you in your individual life. When we think of the word peace, there's a couple of ways we look at it. It's going to come up on the screen, and we're going to talk about the second word first. There's two words I want to share with you this morning, and the second word up on the screen is the name détente. You've heard the word détente. Détente is a peace in a region. Right now in our world, we are watching as there seems to be a little bit of a peace between Israel and Hamas. That's called détente. We spend a lot of time in our world talking about peace. Since I was a little boy, I can remember I grew up through the Cold War and all the different things where we were trying to get nations to get along. So when you see the word détente, you need to understand that word applies to usually hostility between nations, or specifically about a place. It's like out there. Détente is a peace out there. We're not talking about détente today. We're going to talk today about the first word on the screen, eirene. This is a Greek word that means inner solace. Way down deep in here, no matter what's going on out there, I'm good. Eirene. If you're here today and your name is Irene, you didn't know it, but you're named after this word. Irene means peace. My grandmother was Irene. She was not peace, but she was Irene. So I want you today to take a moment and ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 stinks, how peaceful are you in here? Many of you are controlled in here by what happens out there. Circumstances, family situations, maybe for you, literally, the Israeli and Hamas thing happening brings you inner turmoil. I don't know. We're all individuals. But I'm not going to talk to you today about détente. I'm going to talk to you about eirene, the inner peace that only God can give. And I want to start today by sharing a story with you. For those of you who are out at Sandy Pines, I shared this out there. When I was a little boy growing up, I lived in a house, and I'm going to paint it out on the stage today. I would say if I started about here and went back to where the drum set was and kind of said that was one part of the square, then we go all the way over almost to that other little platform and come back to the front. That was the size of the house that I grew up in 6 miles, South Carolina. My dad and my grandpa, whose wife was Irene, my dad and my grandpa built that house, very small house. Later, they attached a little extra part on the back where the bathroom was. And in this house, there were basically two walls that cut it into four little smaller squares. And each square had a little door in it that allowed you to go around in a circle. Kitchen, couple of bedrooms, and the living room. That was it. That house, though I finished really awesome with my dad, that house did not have detente, a peace or a place where I felt like there was not hostility. There was hostility in the house, not from my mom, but from my dad. We did not have detente peace. And because we did not have detente peace, I did not have a Rene peace. As a kid growing up, anxious, worried, spent a lot of my time wondering what would happen next. I'm amazed as I look back at my life how much those first 10 years of my life shaped my peace up into my 60s. Even in my 50s, certain things would happen in my life that would trigger me being a little 10-year-old boy in that house, and I would just get anxious, and I would go, why am I so anxious? And I go, oh, because this is the same kind of feeling I had as a little boy. Some of you here today, you're grown adults. You might even be past my age, and you still react inside from what happened to you in that little house growing up in your first 10 years. Because when you don't have detente in your home, you don't have a Rene piece inside. We're going to talk about today how to have a Rene peace. So as that little boy would go to bed at night, me and my brother, he was 6 years older, his name's Joe. As Joe and I would go to bed at night, we slept in this little corner room. If I paint the house in circles, or in squares, I was in this little front corner right here. My brother and I would go to bed. My father made us leave the bedroom door open. We could not close our bedroom door. He wanted to know everything, very controlling. And Dad at night would just be mean to Mom. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Like I said, I finished great with my dad. We're good. This is all fine now, but I'm just telling you my early childhood. Lots of yelling. My heart would race at night. I hated it. And I couldn't stop it. I couldn't control it. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. In fact, I would say to you today, if that's your house, now, I'm just going to at least, I'm a realist, I live in the real world. At Winning at Home, we will do our best to try to help you, because I know even the one of you that might be creating that, you don't want to be that way. You don't. You don't even know how to help yourself. So call us, let us help you. And in that home, at night, when we would lay down, and Dad would do that, my brother, Joe, 6 years older, he would take his hands. When Dad was yelling and we couldn't stop it, my older brother would take his hands and he would put them over my ears like this. And he would do this. When Dad was making a lot of noise, he would do this so I couldn't understand the words or hear the words. And then when Dad would stop, just for a little while, Dad would stop whatever he was doing. My brother would take one hand off my ear and he would whisper in my ear, "The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He makes us lie down in green pastures." And you might have to do this again, then we would go for a little while. Keaton, you look awesome, man. I just got to pause a minute, give you a hand again. I love this kid, it's awesome. I celebrate, you weren't in here, but I celebrate your testimony for Christ, okay? Proud of you, keep it up. I'm gonna fade off, you come in, take this place, keep preaching, baby, I love it. So, I didn't mean today. I'm saying in the years ahead. So my brother would do this with his hand, and then he would do it again. Then he would keep, and he would quote the whole 23rd Psalm into my ear to seek to bring, you ready? To seek to bring eirene, peace into me. I called my brother a few weeks ago and said, "Hey, Joe, I didn't even see it, man. I was 6, 7, 8. You were 12, 13, 14. Dude, I'm sorry. You went through a lot of pain. You heard a lot more stuff than me. You tried to protect me, dude. He's 71 now." And I said to him, "Thank you for that." It was a great little conversation on the phone. Love my brother. Thank him for that. He still has even greater pain than me from our childhood together. And I, because of that, developed an incredible love for the Psalms. The Psalms have always brought me peace. If you go to my Bible and you turn to the Psalms, if you come and look at it, it is literally written all over, because the Psalms are a book of 150 chapters of basically words that no matter your circumstance, the high highs and the low lows, Psalm has got you covered. If you're in a moment of praise, got you covered. If your life is sucking it up, got you covered. Everything's in there. Written mostly by David, 70 plus written by David, 150 of them. He wrote the majority, but his chief musician, Asaph, and several other prominent writers and leaders and preachers of the day poured their life into these Psalms. And the Psalms were written to be sung. So like this morning, if we were going to do a Psalm, it would be sung. Like I'll just pick one here. That's an interesting one. I'll go to this one. Let me tell you what it said. "I will save you from the adulteress." I'm not going to use that one. It's a good one. But I'm going to sing, and I didn't want to sing that. So the psalm would have been written like this. Many of us know this particular psalm. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." In that day, the psalmist would have sung something like this. It's not our kind of singing. Like when I do it right now, it's going to be kind of sound kind of weird, almost like a eulogy or something. It would have went like this. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." That's the way they sang. If you've ever been to a monastery and you're walking down the hall and you hear, "ba, ba, 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 ba," that's the way they sang. And you say, why would they do that? Because it's easy to remember. Like if I sang this over and over, but y'all get in your car driving home going, "ba, ba, ba, ba," it just gets in your head. So they did that on purpose so that kids and adults could memorize the Psalms. In fact, many of you have memorized Psalms, not from singing probably, but they're just easy to get in your head. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Just rolls out of me, and I love it. And all the stuff I've been through in life, the Psalms have always brought me eirene, peace. So I want to just first say to somebody in here who's very anxious in your spirit, you're just made that way. Fall in love with reading a psalm when you have high anxiety. Just go sit. For me, the last 10 years, when our daughter went wayward and was totally away from home and I didn't know where she was, I devoured the psalms. When I woke up at night, I just go read a psalm. And I'm sure much of it is tied to what my brother did over me, giving me a rainy peace in a home that had no detente peace. And today, I'm going to let you get soaked with a couple of psalms over your life, and I want to just ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak peace into that part of you right now where you go, "I don't got peace right there." Okay, let's give it to Christ and see what he does for us. So I'm going to start with just Psalm 139. I want to show you something about this psalm. Many of you probably have memorized it. I'm just going to read it to you verse by verse. It's coming up on the screen. Here's the first verse. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. So it would have been sung like, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. See how you just, I mean, y'all gonna leave and go, got it. It just sticks in your head. But I want to just ask you a question. When you read the verse, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me, there's two different camps you can go in. You can have the camp over here that goes, you have searched me, Lord. Oh no. You know about my stuff? Like you can see that one crevice that I usually keep hidden from you? Growing up, I gotta tell you, this is the way I responded when I saw something like that. And the reason is because of not having detente over here with my dad, I saw the authority figure as always unhappy with me, always discouraged by me, always looking at me going, man, you're not enough. So I traveled to God the same way. And when I read, you have searched me and you know me, I go, shoot, he knows me. I'm doomed. I'm not good enough. And in a culture here in West Michigan where basically a lot of us define our faith by our works, how good am I? Am I doing enough? Did I give enough? Did I say I love you enough? When we define ourselves that way, we usually read a verse like this and we go, can't live up to it. And I lived this way for so many years. When I went into ministry, early preaching days, I know I lived this way. If I'd read that verse, I would have had high anxiety. I have shifted in these last few years to a different view of this verse, and I invite you this morning into this shift with me. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Oh, that is so peaceful. You see this blimp. You see this spot on my life. You know about that thing. You've seen the trail behind me of all my little areas where I struggle and fail. And you know me, and you still want me, and you still love me. I've shifted. I stand here today. I'm a broken man. I don't do things right. I fail. I mess up. And God says, I know. I see you. I've searched you. I know you. And he loves me right there. He wants me to be his kid. He wants me to follow his ways. Lord, thank you. Don't forget the name of the dude who wrote this. It was David. Did he have a few things to potentially hide? And yet he says, he stood here with all of his shortcomings and all of his weaknesses and said, let me write this down. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. And he went, oh. This verse this morning for all of us in the room should give us, you ready? Irene, peace. Because you can't get at a place where God doesn't know everything about you. In fact, look, he said, I know when you sit, I know when you rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. Let me just cover that. A while ago, as we were about to do the second part of worship, and she invited us to all stand and worship, I stayed seated just a little bit longer, and this verse was literally in my mind. God sees, most of us are standing, and he knows I'm not up yet. He's aware. He knows I'm standing right now and that most of you are sitting. He sees it all, doesn't miss a spot. I just want you to understand how incredibly encompassing God has your life. He knows you're seated. He also knows where you don't have peace. He perceives your thoughts even before you have them. Like this morning, before I woke up, he knew all my thoughts today. And back in the day, I would have been going, oh no. what wrong thoughts am I going to have today? And now I go, I'm going to have some wrong thoughts today because I'm a human being and I'm going to have struggles today. He's got me. I got to tell y'all that I have literally, as I've studied this passage, I've shifted from thinking 1 Corinthians 13, you pick it, whatever chapter you call the greatest love chapter in the Bible, go there. I think I've found my favorite love chapter in the Bible. It's the one where God says, Seaborn, I know everything about you, and I love you. Irene, Dan, lay your head down at night with Irene, with peace that is in here, that the world, no matter what happens in the detente areas, I got you and I am covering you and you are good, boy. You are good because you are my kid. It is a peace that passes all understanding. And he goes on. He doesn't just stop with you sitting and you standing in your thoughts. Look at verse 3. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Hang on a second. Lord, you saw me when I was 6 and 7 and 8 and laying in that bed and had high anxiety. I did. I've even used all that crap you went through for my glory, Dan. You're sharing about today how hard that was on you. And there's going to be people in the service who go, that was me too. And they're going to see that they can have great peace in their life wherever they are today, even if they're 80. There is a peace that comes because I don't miss a speck of your life. In fact, Dan, I even know, look, you are familiar with all my ways. We call this in our culture habits. And some of you have some, you go, I got a really bad habit. Nobody in church knows about it. I did it last night, you know, and I might do it again today. And you're telling me God knows? I'm just telling you, His word doesn't lie. I'm reading His word. I'm not making up the message. The message is coming straight out of Psalm 139. And He says, I got your habits and I see them all. And I love you. And the reason I want to work with you is because I want the best for your life. See, over here, when I lived over here most of my life, I thought He was just mad at me. Because that's what my dad was. I thought I just wasn't good enough. What I couldn't see was the reason He's familiar with all my ways and knows my habits and wants me to bring honor and glory to Him with all my habits is because, ready? It's nothing to do with being mad. It's because He wants the best for me. He wants the best for you. Those areas where sometimes you feel He tries to correct you because He wants you to have the most peaceful life you can have while you're here on this earth. He wants you to have a Irene. It's a shift. And today you need to see the peace of His word that can come over your life. Because I've done this a long time. I've preached a long time. I've lived a long time. There are some of you. You live here. Guilty. Not good enough. And I'm just going to really speak to some of you who are my age and older. Are you really going to finish life here? Seriously? I would have if the Lord hadn't showed me these truths. But now that you see this truth, shift over here. It's not going to happen overnight. But instead of letting your mind go down those familiar paths and habits that beat yourself up and tell yourself you're no good, get over here and go, wait a second. I'm not any good. I'm not worth anything only because of what God has done in me and Jesus is doing in my life. That's why I'm good. Oh, my word, Lord, I've opened my eyes to you. Therefore, today, I am worth it. Satan loves when Christians live over there. Satan loves it when those of us who are supposed to know God's word spend our whole world over there. And God says, can you join me where I want you? Can you understand that no matter what detente looked like, no matter what the place of your house sometimes looks like, no matter what your relationship with a kid sometimes looks like, no matter what happens necessarily in your workplace, you can live in peace. And it's a shift. Before a word is on my tongue, look at this passage. It literally misses nothing. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, Lord, completely. Listen, when I started the message this morning, he knew every word that I would preach in this message. Mind-boggling. I don't even know what I'm going to say next, but he does. He knows sometimes when my words that come out of my mouth hurt someone. Happens. I offended a lady a few years ago, didn't even know it. This summer, out at Sandy Pines, she pulled me to the side and said, I just got to tell you, you hurt me so bad, I didn't even go to church for a long, long time. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm human. I'm going to mess up. You are too. Dad, I said a wrong word to my kid. Yeah. And God said, yeah, I knew you would. And I still got you. I'm sorry. You talk about peace. If you really get this concept, and I know I'm not communicating it good enough to fully get it. I'm doing my best. And the reason I know I'm not is coming up on the screen next. Look at verses 5 and 6. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand on me. So just picture God's hand on your shoulder today going, hey, let me move you. Let me, Dan Seaborn, let me take you from your little childhood. Let me care. Oh, thank you, Lord. Wow. And then look. This is why I said what I just said to you about I'm doing my best to get it out. And out of a 10, a possible 10, I'm like a 1 in communicating how much God loves you and cares for you and knows the details of your life today and wants you to have a reign of peace. And the reason I'm saying that to you is because it's what the word says. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. In other words, I can't even communicate to you how much God cares about every detail of your life today. For somebody in here today who has literally this week said, God doesn't care about me. He knows my situation and he's not fixing it. Maybe he's not fixing it the way you think it needs to be fixed. Maybe he's actually showing you that you can have a reigning peace inside, even though the circumstance looks like it did in a corner of a room at the age of 10. Because peace is not decided by what's going in the places around you. Peace is decided by knowing, too lofty, I can't fully get it to you, how much God in heaven cares about you. That is crazy peace. It's amazing peace. It's a reigning peace. Verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? What David is saying right there is, you can't. Anybody here today who's listening going, well, Dan, you know, I appreciate that, you know, and probably the lady sitting next to me, the gentleman down the row. Yeah, this probably applies to him, but Seaborn, you don't get where I'm at in life. You don't get the depth of my struggle. All I can tell you is you can't get away from his presence. All I can tell you is you may not recognize it, but his spirit is over you. When Jesus left the earth and said, I'm going to go back to my Father in heaven in John, he said, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. Y'all need to understand this morning, the Holy Spirit is here. Your house at home, that little square, it's there. Holy Spirit does not leave. And the reason I know that is because you can't get away from it. If the Holy Spirit left, if he was gone, this would be hell. Hell is the absence of the Spirit of God. We're not there yet. Some days you may look and go, this world can get rough. but it's not hell. And we today have the Spirit of the Lord with us literally in the house right now. And I actually think the Spirit of the Lord is working in some of your lives right now. Because I think a lot of you, honestly, more of us than we'd want to admit, have lived over here pretty much all our life. And it's time to shift. The reason you don't have a reign of peace is because you can't live here and have peace. You'll beat yourself up every day. You'll tell yourself you're never good enough. You can't ever find peace as long as you have that mindset. It's a shift that says, oh, you're telling me because of Jesus, all that stuff is covered. Right. When you gave your life to Christ, when you said, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, what happened on that day is instead of you someday at judgment, when God says, Dan Seaborn, your day to be accountable. When I step forward and it's my day of accountability according to judgment to the Lord God Almighty, when God looks down, because I asked Jesus into my life, when God looks down and sees me, he actually won't see me. He will see his son because his son stepped in front of me to take away all my sins and all my failures and all my worries and all my doubts. Wow. That's beautiful. Jesus, please. Thank you for covering me. And when he covers me, I move here. And today, I'm asking you to look at your life and say to yourself, oh, maybe I don't have peace, a reine peace, because I've chosen to stay in this spot and I need to move over there. I don't know. I don't know your life. I know I'm doing a 2 or 3 out of what I feel inside for you today because I know the shift it's made from the little boy in me to the man I am today, realizing God has me covered. I've asked him to forgive me, just like Keaton. I've said, Jesus, will you forgive me? I've been baptized, and guess what? I'm still gonna make mistakes. I'm prone to it. Sometimes it seems to be my nature. And God says, I know. But you keep submitting yourself to me. You keep laying yourself to me. You keep offering yourself to me. And let me make you into what I desire you to be. And I want to tell y'all something about me. Life has multiplied. I got 8 grandkids. Some of them in tough situations sometimes. All my children, they don't have perfect lives. I tell you, I'm so grateful I moved from being that man because I lived in anxiety over there. And now over here, I live in peace. I put my head on my pillow at night. Jane and I pray for our kids every day, pray for our grandkids every day. I go to sleep. Last night, slept awesome. You mean you got issues in your life and you still slept well? Yeah, because of a reine peace. And the reason for that is because Christ has given me a firm foundation.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.